And Timothy was probably 45 years old. He's not 20 years old. At 45 years old, Paul is writing to him, "You listen, don't think you're so old and you won't be tempted. Just flee from youthful lust. Just run away. We don't run away from the devil." The Bible says, resist the devil. If you see the devil coming in front of you, don't run away. Resist him in Jesus' name. But if you see a tempting woman come in front of you, run away. That's what the Bible says. And think of this. I don't run away from the devil, but I run away from a tempting woman. That's practical advice. It's like telling David, don't run away from Goliath, but run away from Bathsheba. She's stronger than Goliath. And that woman is stronger than the devil to knock you down. Because you resist the devil, he will run away from you. But you don't resist that woman, she'll knock you down. Flee. It's not just run. Flee is the type of way where you run if a lion is chasing you. Flee from youthful lusts. And don't just run aimlessly. You run in a direction which is righteousness, verse 22, and faith and love and peace. And don't run alone. It's a beautiful verse, verse 22. First of all, you run away from all these things that cause temptation. From links on your phone or computer, run away from it. People have asked me, what shall I do, brother, when I'm sitting in front of a computer and I'm tempted to go to some polluted link or dirty link, or I've got a phone in my hand, and what shall I do? I say, turn it off and run away from there. Run away from sitting in front of the computer. If you got a phone, turn it off. And go and try and find some fellowship. Go for a walk at least. Go somewhere out in the open where you're in the midst of people, where you won't be tempted. Or go and seek fellowship with somebody. If you obey this practical advice to flee, you're resisting, and you find your resistance is weakening. You're about to fall. Run away. I tell you, you will come to a victorious life because God sees your desire to run away from there. You say, Lord, this is too much for me. This temptation is too much for me. I'm not going to try and stand here in concrete. I'm going to obey your word. I'm going to pursue righteousness, faith. I'm going to look for someone who's got a pure heart, verse 22, and I want to fellowship with him. If I can't find somebody immediately, I'll just go out for a walk in the open. But I'm not going to sit here and try to resist something which is too much for me. If you're serious about it, you will really overcome. So in the last days, it's going to be very difficult to be a Christian. And it describes here the type of people there will be in the last days in 2 Timothy 3 who will have a form of godliness. Remember, all these verses, verse 2, 3 and 4, are not talking about unbelievers. No. All these verses, 2, 3 and 4, may refer to the characteristics of unbelievers, but here's referring to believers, so-called believers, who have a form of right doctrine and the right language and appear spiritual and say the right things. But you can see that God can see that they are lovers of themselves. Number one, they don't really love you. They love themselves. And they're only trying to show you how spiritual they are. You see, anybody who's trying to show you how spiritual he is, he's a lover of himself. And apply that to yourself. If you are a person who's trying to show other people how spiritual you are, you don't love that person. You love yourself. Think of a father who's trying to teach his son mathematics. If he's just trying to show off to his son how clever I am, he's not going to be a good teacher. He's just trying to show off what a clever mathematician I am. That poor child will learn nothing. A good father will not try to show off to his child, I know more than you. The child already knows you know more than him. But that's not what you want to show off to your child. You want to help that child who's struggling with some arithmetic problem. Help him to answer that problem in his maths paper, which he doesn't know how to solve. And don't try to show off how good you are in that subject. So that's a good father. That's a good person. Even a good elder brother who's helping his younger brother will not try to show off, hey, you're in second standard, I'm in 10th standard. That's not the thing. Help him to understand. And if you're really a spiritual person, you will never overawe a people person with your spirituality. You will never say things to make him feel so small in front of you as if you're a great man of God and he's a nobody. And one way you can find that out is this. When you're talking to people, supposing somebody comes to visit your home, whoever it is, maybe a younger person, and you do all the talking. There are some people like that. They imagine themselves to be a spiritual. They are the proudest and most carnal people they are. I've heard complaints like that. I go to visit that brother and he does all the talking and I sit there like a dumb person listening to him. But he gives me good food, so I visit his home. What's that? That's not Christianity. If you are really, such a person is a lover of himself. Avoid such people. All these people listed here from verse 2 to 4, at the end of it, it says in verse 5, avoid them, avoid them, avoid them. Avoid a person who's got all the right doctrines, but he's just trying to show you how spiritual he is. Run away from such a person. Don't visit his home. That's my advice. He will not help you to godliness. He's only trying to impress you with how spiritual he is or how hospitable he is or some such garbage like that. He's not trying to draw you to Jesus Christ. He's only trying to draw you to himself. All these people are people who draw people to themselves. And remember that verse I quoted the other day in John chapter 10. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. That has two meanings. That means everyone who came before me in time was a thief and a robber. He was the truth and the life, Jesus Christ. And the other meaning of before in English is come in front of me. Anyone who comes before me is a thief and a robber. So if you come before Jesus Christ in the sense of in front of Jesus Christ when you're talking to someone, you're a thief and a robber. You're preventing that person from seeing Jesus. He's seeing you. He admires you. He's not drawn to the Lord. He's drawn to you. Beware of drawing people to yourself. Such a man is a lover of himself. Don't let people admire you for your preaching or your singing or your Bible knowledge or your music or anything. Be one who says like John the Baptist, I must decrease so that Christ must increase. That is the only person who sincerely, deep down in his heart, in his contact with other believers, wants to decrease in their eyes so that they'll be drawn to Christ. That is the only person who can know, I'm not a lover of myself. So that's the first type of person who we are warned against. And then the second person mentioned here in verse 2 is a lover of money. Not one who has a lot of money. Many people sitting here have a lot of money. I think most of the people sitting here have probably got 10 times what some of our CFC believers in the villages have. Your salary is 10 times what people in the village have, some people more than that. So it's not a question of having money. It's not a question of owning a house, because many of you own your own houses. It's a question of loving it. There are many people who have little who love money. There are many people who have much who love money. And this is a lover of money who still has a form of godliness. And I tell you, the Christian world is full of it. Most of these pastors you see on television, they are the biggest lovers of money of all. And I noticed another thing in Christian television, both in the United States and here, that most of these Christian television preachers are people who speak in tongues and claim to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Most of them, perhaps 90% of them. And they are the most covetous lovers of money on the face of the earth. Because they're always asking for people's money. And they take those poor people's money and buy big cars and planes and big houses and all that for themselves. But they speak in tongues. That shows the whole thing is a counterfeit. Because if a person is filled with the Holy Spirit really, he should be more free from the love of money. He should be more free from desiring money from other people. I'm surprised that so many believers can't see through this deception on Christian television from all these preachers. How is it you don't see it? How is some of you want to go and listen to some of these men and some women also who are just out? You say, oh, but they preach so well. So you're more interested in the outward garment than the inner life. You're more interested in head knowledge. You want to be moved emotionally. They've got a tremendous ability to preach. If you want to be moved emotionally, go and listen to some politician. They hold people's attention for 2 hours, some of them. Very good. They're not necessarily godly people. So we have to be very careful. I find these are days of tremendous deception. We are mistaking a person's eloquence for anointing. I really believe one of the greatest needs in our day is to distinguish between eloquence and anointing. Eloquence, many worldly people have. Many politicians have. There are some politicians I've heard who are amazingly eloquent. They can hold your attention for a long time. They speak in such an interesting way. They can speak for 2 hours and you won't lose your, you won't be distracted. It's not anointing. It's eloquence. It's a human gift. And when such a person can become a Christian and a preacher, he can preach without an anointing. An anointing will draw you to Jesus Christ, not make you just impressed with that person. An anointing will convict you of sin, convict you of the need for righteousness, and convict you of judgment. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. Eloquent people won't convict you of sin and righteousness and judgment.